familiar passage of Scripture. Very familiar. Amen. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, if you'd stand with us. Verse 3 and verse 4. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus and giving him very direct instructions. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Isn't it good to hear what Jesus has to say? Amen. A lot of people giving their opinions, a lot of people giving their ideas. But I want to pay attention to what Jesus says. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now you read verse 4.
Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old?
If he enters the second time, he puts on his food. So, legitimate questions that he has because. Even as a ruler of the Jews, he's not able to make the connection as to what God is wanting to say in the spiritual realm. And so he asks about the second time. Say that with me. The second time. Amen. That's what I want to share with you today. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, first place is what we always recognize, first place. Who gets the blue ribbon? Who gets the gold medal? Who gets first place? That's the important part. In the Olympics and all other competitions, the award stands that the winners occupy are third, second, and first. And good that second and third place winners are recognized, but it's always the first place that is remembered. The gold medal is what is coveted. The gold medal is the one that is most recognized in the record books. Competitions on a court, on a field, on a track, on a pitch. It's kind of an odd name, pitch. No matter what, it's first place that is recognized. And whether it be athletes or drivers of vehicles or animals racing, again, it's first place. First place. Brother Parrish went to Africa on a trophy hunt. And in Africa, there's categories of trophies. There's bronze. There's silver and there's gold, and they are determined by measurements of the horns of the animal. And Brother Parrish got a Cape Buffalo, and a gold placement in that category requires a measurement of 115. Brother Parrish's was 117, and so he was able to obtain a trophy of great, well, category, class, world record, however you want to say it. It's pretty amazing. Paul recognized that in the prize and the striving for it and so on in his writings to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he references there a striving for the prize, for the goal. He said, one receiveth the prize. He said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we're not looking for a corruptible crown. We're not looking for something that's in the record books and then it's forgotten. And you have to go to Google to find out who won, you know, the gold, even just a few years ago, because it's so quickly forgotten. But Paul said, we are striving for an incorruptible crown, something that's not going to fade away, something that's not going to be forgotten. Amen. And he said these words so appropriate in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my bodies and I control it. I discipline it. And I bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Amen. A castaway. I don't want to be a castaway. I want to make sure I reach the prize. And Philippians 3 and 14, he emphasizes that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. He wanted to make sure it was going to be the prize that he desired. Amen. I heard someone preach, or not the message itself, but the title, Second is Better Than First. Second is Better Than First. That interesting concept, interesting thought. Our twins were born yesterday, 43 years ago. Mike came at 7:06, I think, and Greg born at 7:36. And he would endorse that message, second is better than first. He would say, I agree with that. Amen. But the scripture has many references to verify that thought. Second is better than first. The second Adam is mentioned in scripture. Now, the first Adam is an incredible miracle of God's creative touch, God's personal touch in creation, and his divine breath. He formed man out of the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. The fellowship with God that he enjoyed, the fact that he could hear God's voice, that he could feel his presence, how incredible, how wonderful that experience must have been. And then a companion provided for him, a helpmeet that would accompany him and be a part of his everyday life, and all that was wonderful in that experience. And then Satan shows up. His sedition and the sin that he tempted them with, even in a place of perfection. Some people say, well, if I had things different, if I had it just this way and that way and everything would be just so, then I could be successful in living for God. They live for God and with God in a place of perfection. And then sin entered in. You just have to resist. Amen. You just have to resist the devil and he will flee. One comedian said, I can resist anything but temptation. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. You got to resist that temptation. Temptation made the disobedience, the sinful disobedience look good, to look pleasant and desirous for self. And certainly the parallel there in 1 John 2 and 15. Let me read a portion of 1 John 2 to you from the Phillips rendering, the Phillips translation. Never give your hearts to this world, or to any things in it. A man cannot love the Father and love the world at the same time. For the whole world, the system that is based on men's primitive desires, their greedy ambitions, and the glamour of all that they think is splendid, is not derived from the Father at all. And you can see how the King James translation fits in with that as well. But the world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear. Yes, that's going to happen. But the man who is following God's will is part of the permanent and cannot die. Praise God. I like that. Amen. I like that. Part of the permanent. Follow God's will and you're part of the permanent. Praise God. And oh, that needs to be our determination. That needs to be our desire. For as in Adam, the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise God. So the second Adam, the scripture calls him the last Adam, Amen. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, and a spirit that imparts life. Praise God. A powerful life through the giving of the Spirit. Thank God that we're able to receive from the Lord that quickening. We receive the Spirit of God, and life comes through the Spirit of God. Amen. Life comes through the resurrection of the Lord. The trumpet is going to sound, the apostle wrote. Verse 52 of chapter 15. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thank God for that promise. There's a change that's coming. There's a change that's powerful. That's a change that is based on the resurrection of the Lord. And oh, thank God, we can decide, we can determine, I want to be changed now by the Spirit power that God reveals through the resurrection so that I can be changed then, hallelujah, when He comes again. The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Thank God for the second Adam. Amen. I'm thankful for the second touch that God gives again in the healing aspects where He touches those who have needs in their body. The blind man of Bethsaida in Mark chapter 9, they brought him to Jesus. They expected a healing touch. They expected the demonstration of the power of the Lord. They brought him to Jesus, and Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of town. Now, that seems kind of strange. Why didn't you heal him right there? Why did you take him by the hand and lead him to a place that perhaps may have been unfamiliar to him? He could count steps of going to these various places, to the market, to buy bread, to buy milk, to buy whatever he needed. He could count steps to go to his friend's home, to go to his relatives, but the Lord took him by the hand and led him out of town because he was going to be able to see coming back. Wasn't going to be counting steps, wasn't going to be feeling the texture and the surface of the building, wasn't going to be the things that he hears and he knows it's safe to cross the road. He was going to come back seeing. Praise God. So the Lord put his hands on him. Can you see? He asked. The man replied, I see men as though they are trees that are walking. So he had blurred vision. What did the Lord do? Put his hands on him again. The second time. Hallelujah. It made him look again. And he declared, I see every man clearly. Ha ha. Praise God, because the Lord knows how to give a second touch. Amen. The lepers, 10 of them, what a share group. Standing afar off, misery, suffering, tears, hope that is gone. But when they heard of Jesus, they came to Him. Praise God. They cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Amen. The Lord heard their cry, and He told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Praise God. Incredible miracle. 10 lepers, 10 of them that were going to be restored to their families, 10 of them that were going to be able to go home for the first time in years, 10 of them that had smiles on their faces, praise God, not tears. If there were tears, there were tears of joy. But thank God there was rejoicing. Thank God there were smiles. Thank God they were happy because the Lord did a work for them based on their obedience. And then one of them turned back and came to Jesus. Praise God. And he fell at the feet of the Lord and began to give thanks and express that thanks, express that gratitude. The Lord said to him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He's already healed. The leprosy is already gone. But now the Lord's proclaiming, your faith hath made you whole. His heart was healed. His mind was healed. His emotions were healed. There was a wholeness that came upon him. And through divine declaration, depression was defeated. Hallelujah. Depression that may have weighed him down. Depression that may have given him thoughts of suicide. Depression that may have stolen every ray of light and hope from him. But Jesus made him whole. Jesus touched him again. Jesus made a way for him again. Thank God that there is the second touch. Hallelujah. And the greater blessing that he received because he came to the Lord the second time. And so Nicodemus is wondering, be born again. How? Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time? How can he be born again when he's old? Now see, Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews, and this is not the only time we hear about him. In John chapter 7, he defends the actions of the Lord. In John chapter 19, he joins with Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Jesus off the cross and place it in a tomb. So Nicodemus was showing what he's made of. He's showing that he's got a heart for God and desire for the things of the Lord. And so he came to Jesus. That's a good place to bring your questions. That's a good place to bring your concerns. He came to Jesus. And he heard Jesus say, you must be born again. And so then his questions. Can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into the womb and be born? How can these things be? But Jesus kept right on. You must be born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit. Praise God. And that pattern was established and followed by the apostles in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, chapter 8 of the book of Acts, chapter 10, chapter 6, 19. Thank God Paul would make reference of it in chapter 22 for his own experience. The divine pattern was established. And not only was the divine pattern established, it was followed. Amen. And God fulfilled his word. When people were baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, and people received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Thank God for the new birth. Thank God for being born again. Thank God for a second birth. Hallelujah. That is better than the first birth. Thank God for the power of the Lord that would be displayed in the opportunity and the experience to change lives. Lives were changed. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6, made a list of sins, not a finalized list, but he wrote about things that would keep people out of the kingdom of God. People kind of ignore those things now. Everybody's going to a better place. Everybody's going to experience something good. Well, need to read the Word of God. There's some things that'll keep you out of the kingdom of God. But when Paul made that list, he acknowledged to the Corinthians, such were some of you. That's the way you used to live. That's the way you used to act. That's the way you used to have in your life, the things that were in your life. But now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. And then he lists how it's done, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Those two elements, those two parts of the experience, thank God, are what can change people. And Paul wrote to Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he said, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there's going to be a second time that Jesus comes. The second time is going to be better than the first. Hallelujah. The second time that he comes, praise God, it's going to be powerful, wonderful, incredible. Now, Jesus taught about his coming. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating. They were drinking. They were marrying. They were giving in marriage. They were buying. They were selling. They were planting. They were building. In other words, what he was saying is, life continued on. Just seemed like normal. Just seemed like everything was in its place, and a place for everything, and we're just going on here. And then suddenly, Noah entered the ark. Suddenly, Lot walked out of Sodom. And then judgment. The Lord's going to come in an hour that you think not. Life going on as normal. But then like a thief in the night, he's going to come. Let not your heart be troubled, he said. You believe in God? You believe in me. Amen. He'd say that because he would declare, I and my Father are one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Praise God. And I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, what an incredible promise. We talked about pain in the Bible lesson today and how the scripture promises there is going to be no more pain. Amen. That's where he is. That's why he said, I want you with me. I want you there. Praise God. Let not your heart be troubled. He ended that discussion in John 14 with the same promise, with the same command, with the same words. Don't let your heart be troubled. Praise God, because he is coming again. The angels declared it. The angels that appeared to the men from Galilee who were gazing up into heaven as Jesus ascended up from them on the Mount of Olives. Ye men of Galilee, the angel said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Praise God. Oh, the clouds concealed him, and the angels are promising the clouds will reveal him. Mark 13 and 26, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Oh, we're looking for his return. We're looking for his coming. The second time, it's going to be powerful. The second time, it's going to be wonderful. Hallelujah. There isn't going to be a celebration about Christmas. There isn't going to be a celebration about Easter. We're going to be in his presence forever. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God that we can look for his return. We can look for his coming. We know that he is about to break the clouds of glory to come for his people. The trumpet's going to sound. The shout is going to be heard. Hallelujah. And we shall be caught up together. Oh, hallelujah. The second time, better than the first. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Expecting him to come. But notice that question. Why stand ye gazing? You got to go. Why stand ye gazing? You got to go and get power from on high. And then you've got to take that message to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Let them know he's coming. Amen. You can be born a second time. You can have a healing touch a second time. Not every day that you get a second chance. Much less find someone who will give you a second chance every day. Oh, but our Jesus does. And we're looking for his coming. Oh, let me share some scripture with you. Hebrews 9 and 28. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's why we look to him. That's why we call him Savior. He was once offered to bear the sins of many, including you and me. Praise God. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. That's why we're looking for him. And we're going to see him. 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm looking for him. I want to see him. Praise God. And I desire the change that only He can make. Thank God for the changes that He's made in our lives. Thank God for the healing that He's brought forth. Thank God for the power that He's made known. Thank God He's helped us to be overcomers. Thank God that He has brought forgiveness into our lives and the forgiveness that we extend to others. God has made that change. Amen. And our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3 and 20. And then verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned? That's the fashion I want. Praise God, the fashion that's not going to fade away. It may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Praise God. Amen. So we keep looking for Him. We keep desiring Him. We keep letting Him change us now through His Word, through His Spirit. Thank God, covered by His blood. Forgiven, amen, by His power. Changed now so that we can be changed then. And He can subdue all things. Now, let me ask the question. Here's the important question. If He can subdue all things unto Himself, are you subdued to Him? Are you submitted to Him? Uh-huh. Well, I don't have to. You want to be changed then, you better be changed now by His Spirit, changed by His Word, changed by His blood. Amen. All things controlled. That's what subdued means, controlled by Him. Are you? Second birth, second touch, second coming. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Thank God for the power of the change that He makes in our lives, in a new birth and a new life that we can live after the new birth in His power and presence. Then Jesus said, now Nicodemus coming back to Him, then you can enter the kingdom. Then you can see the kingdom. Praise God. It was a very important connection for that kingdom-minded man to understand. You must be born again. That's how you're going to see it. That's how you're going to enter it. Praise God. And oh, we take the words of the Lord at face value and don't take a chance on being ready. Not taking a chance. No, no. Making sure. Praise God. Stand with me today, please. The Lord told Nicodemus about the new birth. Nicodemus came with compliments. Nicodemus came with nice words. And the Lord didn't even acknowledge it. The Lord didn't even return the compliment. He just looked at him and said, "You got to be born again." Wasn't time for, you know, niceties and the Lord's courteous, the Lord's polite, the Lord's a gentleman. Yes, He is. But there was a message that Nicodemus needed to hear. There's a message you need to hear. There's a message you need to obey. There's a message you need to make sure of. Amen. Simple, straightforward, but one that we cannot afford to miss. Amen. Oh, thank God. Thank God. He comes to us again and again and holds His hands of mercy out. His Spirit touches us over and over. His Word speaks to our hearts numerous times. Amen. His presence in the midnight hour to comfort, to encourage, to bless. Hallelujah. I can't just take it for granted and feel like, well, he'll be there again when I need him. But I don't need him right now, so I'm going to go in. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm going to stay close to him. Praise God. And desire him. And want him more and more and more. Would you come and pray? Would you come to the front and...